I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie most of the time.
Yeah, okay.
A little slower today, but
there,
doing
there
all
are
right.
Obvious comments which will not be made.
Not on the air anyway.
Joining us. Who's joining us, Fast Eddie?
Well, why don't we find out? We have Todd and Van Winter here from Mid-Continental Instrument and Avionics, and we're going to talk about something that you're just not going to believe we're going to talk about.
Wow.
I saw this and I thought, wow, that's interesting. I never thought of this. We're talking about what? USB ports in your aircraft.
Well, they got to have them. They're more important than cup holders.
That is true. Well, you know, and the you're reasons right. are obvious because we're flying with more portable electronics
more
than ever.
In everything. They're not all the same. USB ports are not created the same.
They are not
created
all
equal.
Created equal, exactly. We've been following Mid-Continent Instruments. Lots of people know us, 60-year history. Lots of our customers said, hey, I need a way to charge my device, my laptop, my phone, my electronic flight bag in the panel. Well, FAA said, well, you can't do that. So we said, well, I'll bet there's a way. Let's work on this. So we figured out a way. The FAA got together. They set some standards for protection, all the right things, right? And we were able to develop USB charging devices that could be installed in the cockpit legally with a TSO. You know, and it's all about, right, reliability and safety and value, right? You got to have all those things. So, yeah, we did that, and now it's evolved to As you said, I mean, it started small and now it's a huge thing. And we've just dedicated a lot of effort, engineering time to supplying those. And everybody needs it now. Everybody needs it.
Well, what's an average USB port's output in current? I mean, I've seen stuff like 6 amps and things like that. What do you recommend?
Yeah, so ours go really, our newest ones get up to 5 amps. And so that's, we're on our fourth kind of generation of USB chargers, right? We have to adapt with the technology. So every time that there's a new iPhone or a new iPad that people are flying with, we have to make sure that we can power that device, right? Full brightness, running flight software, getting hot in the cockpit. I mean, we have to really be able to support those devices. So we're up to 5 amps on our newest charging ports, and that's up to 100 watts. So that is like...
That's a lot.
That's like charging your big, you know, photo editing computer back at home, you know, in the cockpit should you need to. So as the devices get bigger and demand more power, we have to adjust, right? So every time that there's a new Android phone or a new iPhone, we're making sure that we have the right power for that device and also the right handshake. So our chargers are kind of smart chargers. So the device tells you, hey, I want this many volts and this many amps, and can you give that to me so that I don't overheat, I don't charge too fast, too slow, and the chargers can meet that.
You know, that's one of the things that I have never thought of. I never thought that a USB port could be dangerous. The cords can be dangerous because I pulled two of them apart on Sunday, but I never thought of a USB port being dangerous. What kind of protections are you putting in these things?
Over temperature, that would be one, right? So if it starts to get too hot, right, we know circuitry can... Things happen. You got those little electrons coming in there, right? You got power and ground. It may be a small set of wires, but, you know, there's always some potential that something could go wrong. So we custom designed everything in Wichita, Kansas. Our engineers, it's all made in the U.S. We also put it into an aluminum case instead of plastic, right? Because aluminum typically doesn't burn, definitely not in this situation. So, yeah, those protections. And, of course, EMI, right? You don't want your darn USB charger interfering with your nav comms so you can't right. hear Addis or whatever off in the distance. So, yeah, there are a lot of those things. And, you know, we love coming to Oshkosh. It's a lot of fun, and we interact with so many people. And I can't tell you how many people come up to us and they say, you know, I've got a charger, and I plug my device in, and it's plugged in, and I'm still watching the battery thing go down, you know. And if I'm on a long flight, I might not make the flight. What's going on here? So as Van alluded to, you really kind of have to do your homework and realize what do you need, what are you trying to achieve, and what, therefore, what do you want from that product that you're going to install? You're going to spend your good money. You're going to spend time probably on an installation. So, yeah, be sure you get what you want. And as he said, too, it's ever-changing, right? So the demands just get higher and higher and higher. So, you know, that's why we've kind of tried to take that extra work off of your plate by providing the information and a range of products that will fit whatever your needs are. You might say, yeah, you know, I need one over here. I'm not going to use that one as much, so maybe I just need a standard USB. But hey, over here, I'm got a new device. I need a Type-C. I need the wattage. And who knows what I'm going to be using 2 years from now.
Exactly.
And I'd rather be able to install this once and be good for a while. So,
and have enough ports that the people in the back seats can charge all their phones.
That's how you make people happy. Todd always talks about it. It's kind of a customer touch point, right? So if you think of someone in a big business jet, all the stuff that's going on and that has to work and has to be right, and then if they plug into a USB charger that doesn't work, it's broken, it's not charging fast enough, so they can't be on their phones and doing business or whatever they're trying to do. That's the thing that they will remember from that flight, right? That the water's not cold and the USB port isn't charging fast enough. Exactly.
Well, you know what? Now that leads to another critical issue here, because when you're buying an airplane or building an airplane, not only do you have to consider the number of cup holders, but now you have to consider the number of USB ports in it as well.
Well, absolutely.
Every cup holder should have its own USB port.
Yes, it should.
There you
pretty
go.
That's much.
That's a new product idea right there.
You know, we
could be the cup holder.
The charging cup holder and USB port. Yes, there's a market for that.
Yes. Or the coffee cup with the USB port in it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
We expect a royalty check.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Get to work on that.
Yeah.
And we do that. And, okay, so we overbuild our product just a little bit, but we make sure the value is still right. And so we provide a lifetime warranty. Again, so not all created equal. We've got the reputation. We've got the variety. And when you buy it, we're going to guarantee it's going to work for you as long as you need it to forever.
There's no clause in there that says except when the customer installs it improperly?
No.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So in other words, you've designed
I can screw it up and you'll still stand behind it.
It's going to be hard for you to, because it does have reverse polarity protection. Too.
Oh,
that's two wires.
Yeah, you got a 50% chance of being right.
Now, here's the other question. You have some aircraft with the 14-volt system. You have some with 28. Is this a universal fits-all thing? Doesn't care what voltage it's running on?
So we do have two versions. We have one that is the universal for the lower voltage aircraft, and then we have some for the super, super high power. We have to pull that higher voltage from the bus. So we're always designing, right? We have to stay up with the technology. We listen to our customers all the time. We're asking a ton of questions about USBs and about what customers are flying with and what kind of power they need here at Oshkosh, obviously. And so we're always looking to be able to expand the voltage down, but we have a version that can do the universal, and then we have our super high power versions that are on the higher voltage aircraft as well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now, everybody is flying pretty much these days with iPads with the flight software and stuff on it like that. What other devices are they plugging into your USB ports?
Everything, I imagine.
Well, lots of phones.
Yep.
You know, I can't even remember, but there are lots of items out there that are using, especially now, Type-C, since that capability has grown. And so, you know, you're in a hurry for a flight, or as you said, maybe the boss who's in the back, he was in a hurry, and he's like, I'm going to this big meeting. I'm going to hit the ground running. Oh, I forgot to charge my iPad, or I forgot to charge my laptop, or, you know, fill in the blank, some other device, right? There's lanterns. I mean, probably even leaf blowers and things like that, right?
I was going to say a USB welder.
I could see plugging that in 476 hours till charged.
Radios, walkie-talkies, these new cellular walkie-talkies, right? All those use USB Type-C typically.
When we think about the market, I think that the sweet spot is right about 30 watts. So some of those bigger iPads that people are using for EFBs, and the new iPhones can charge at a max of 27 watts now. So I think the sweet spot is about 30 watts of power. depending on the voltage will depend on the device, but that's kind of where you want to be. So, you know, we've got a 60 and we've got a 100, so we're overpowered, we're future proofed on some of our higher power ones, but I think that's the sweet spot for those newer devices. But someday, you know, we see a world where AC outlets will eventually kind of move to the side as USB can become more and more powerful. Your cords are going to be a little bit thicker and they're going to be pulling more power from the bus, but you know, someday it'll be coffee makers, vacuum cleaners for the cabin, things
goodness.
In USB. Just think about it. You know, we'll have the conversation again in 5 years and see where it's coming.
Yeah. Well, I got news for you. They already have USB vacuum cleaners. I've got one for my car at home.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's rechargeable.
Oh, okay, yeah. It charges on USB. It doesn't run off it.
Right. But once again, you still need to charge this silly thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we love batteries, too. We're battery experts, so we understand the applications.
So are you going to be making I've got a text here, a gas station hot dog roller that is USB powered? No, he's got. Okay, mess that up.
Is it FATSO? That's the question.
There you go. It may be in the future.
So, what other kind of protections do you have in this? Do you have an overcurrent protection in it as well, in case something shorts out and blows up?
Yeah. So the USB chargers will protect your airplane first and your device second.
Right.
So
it can't take down the airplane systems.
Right. No. Yeah. There's no way. It's completely protected, and it's also not going to burn up your device. And that's where, you know, we have really, really smart chips in there. You pay a little bit more. That's why we added the lifetime warranty. We said, look, we're so confident that yes, you'll pay more out of the gate, but it's going to take care of your devices. It's going to take care of your aircraft. It's obviously completely safe. So yeah, all those protections are built in to go both ways. The thing that will fail will be the USB port. And then with our lifetime warranty, if that should happen, which we don't get many returns, you just come back to us and we can send you a new one.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Todd and Van Winter from
Midcontinent.
This is EAA Radio. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie getting plugged in. And this is EAA Radio.